Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We follow up last week's sermon on preparing for Christ's return with a new word today, and it's one that has special meaning to me. You see, when I was student teaching at the end of my time at St. John's in Oxnard, they had a special going away dinner for me. And after that, my master teacher, Kent Schlichtemeyer, took me aside and he said, "Matt, I'm going to give you one word. If you remember this one word and follow it, you will be a most successful teacher." That word was expectations. And then he followed it up with just very brief instructions. If you expect it, you'll get it. If you don't, you won't. So this week, where are we going with Jesus and his return? Well, going back to last week, prepare. Because preparation is what is expected by our Lord and Savior. And you might say, really? And I would say, absolutely. Consider what Jesus went on to teach towards the end of Matthew chapter 24. He taught at that time that of that day and that hour, no one knows. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, when he is going to return. Therefore, and again I'm quoting Jesus here, therefore you must be ready. Consider what the word must means. This must be done. Why? Because he expects it. And then he lays this on his disciples and us. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? So, what is he expecting? Well, that we're going to feed people at the proper time. We're going to provide for the people at the proper time. When we put that into the context of the Old Testament and the prophets and Israel, we look to Hosea, and he singles out where that expectation lies. God expected the priests to retain knowledge and to make intercession on behalf of the people, both through prayers and the sacrifices of atonement. He expected the kings to lead the people in the way of his word, which was preserved by the priests. And he expected the fathers to build up faithful families following the lead of the king and in accordance with the teaching of the priests according to the word of God. And then what does Jesus say about that? Consider this. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. He expects it, and he blesses it. And he immediately follows that up with judgment. Those who don't meet his expectations. That now opens the door for chapter 25. And the first word of chapter 25 is then. Well, when's then? Well, it follows, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. So, he's referring to judgment day. That's what all of chapter 24 is about. And then it will be like, well, two parables. This is what it will be like. The first is about the 10 virgins, and the virgins are representative of his servants. These parables, they're earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And what do we read about those 10 virgins in our gospel reading this morning? Well, they took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Bet you know who the bridegroom represents. That would be Jesus. Jesus coming back or coming to this world. Now we read that those servants, those bridesmaids, those virgins, five were foolish and five were wise. Why were the foolish ones foolish? Well, because they took no oil, no reserve with them. You look at the front of the bulletin, you can see what a lamp would have looked like, and there's not a lot of oil there, and the wick's going to, you know, pull that oil out, and you better have some. But you see, there was poor planning. There was no contingencies. They expected that everything was just going to go fine according to plan. How often does that hold true? I think a better expectation is that's what was shown by the wise. They took their flasks, plural. They took a lot of oil. Why? Because they were wise. They expected, you know, everything's not going to go according to plan. There's probably going to be some problems. We better prepare. And it turns out that, yes, the bridegroom is delayed. In fact, he's seriously delayed to the point that they had no idea when he was coming. Just like Jesus said in chapter 24 of that day and that hour, no one knows. But he was so delayed that, well, I quote, they all became drowsy and slept. There was nothing wrong with that. Even the wise fell asleep. But then at midnight, the day is long over. He was seriously delayed. But at midnight, there's a suddenness. Here is the bridegroom. He's there. That's the way it's going to be on Judgment Day. And there's an expectation. Come out to meet him. He's here. Come out. Light the way. Let's go. And the foolish, listen to what they say and see if this does not sound kind of like today. Give us some of your oil for our lamps. They're going out. And there's a massive lesson here. The foolish, they have expectations. They expect the wise to give what they had planned for, what they had paid for. This is what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine. You owe me. You pay me. You give me yours. I deserve it. And notice what the wise do. They don't give in to that. It's not enough for us and for you. Go buy for yourselves. You see, the wise, the prudent, they planned. But they also hold others accountable and say, you are not my responsibility and your poor planning is not my fault. After all, it's the loving thing to do. Because then the person can learn from their mistake. But the foolish did not plan. They were held accountable. At that hour, you're not going to find many oil merchants. And when they finally get the oil, they come back to the wedding feast and they cry out, Lord, Lord. See, they know him. Open to us. And what does the bridegroom Jesus say? Amen. Yes, it is so. Truly. I say to you, I do not know you. Scary, isn't it? If you're not prepared. And if you're not prepared, you're not meeting God's expectations. We then have a focus shift and we go to parable number two, which is the one of faithfulness. We move from wisdom to faithfulness. And it's that one where there's a master. It's the parable of the talents. And Jesus, the master, is leaving. So what's he do? He calls his servants. He divides up his estate and his business. And, well, this is just what Jesus had said in Matthew 24. The master has set over his household. And what did he set? Well, parable-wise, he leaves them his financial resources. To one he gives five, to one he gives two, to the other he gives one talent. What's a talent? 6,000 denarii. What's a denarii? A day's wage. So 6,000 days worth of work is 24 years approximately. And if you take the average U.S. salary for the first half of 2023, a talent would be worth roughly $1.42 million, almost $1.5 million. So even the guy who got the one talent, man, he was blessed. He was given a lot. But what was he given it for? Well, they were to take care of the master's estate. And what do we read? Now, after a long time, again, there's a message here to us and it was to the disciples back then. His return wasn't going to be quick. It's a long time away, but he's coming back. Now, after a long time, the master came and settled accounts with them. That's judgment day. He had expectations of what he gave to his servants. And the servant who had five talents comes, Lord, here's the five servant, this five talents you gave me, here's five more. And the one who had two, Lord, here's the two talents you gave me, here's two more. And what does he respond? Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. When you consider the talent and what it's worth, and they've doubled it, and Jesus refers to that as little. He's going to give you much now. Heaven is beyond our comprehension. But you see, they were wise and they had seen their master work. And they knew what he expected because they were wise and watched him. So they followed in his footsteps. They followed his example and they increased the business. And he's, well done. You met my expectations. Then there's the one who gave back one and he says, and I listen to this. I knew you to be a hard man. Does a hard man give away $1.5 million and entrust it to somebody? I don't think that's the definition of hard. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. In other words, it's your fault. And you have to ask that question, really? This master's dishonest? Take a look at the other two. They faithfully served him. They followed his example. They expanded the business, the estate. Would they have done that if he was dishonest and corrupt? And what we see is that this servant was not interested in expectation. No, he was interested in excuses, in blaming. And he's literally saying, I'm more righteous than you. Here, and I quote, here you have what is yours. In other words, how dare you have expectations of me? You have no right. And how does Jesus describe that person who looks at him as being wrong for having expectations? You wicked, slothful, worthless servant. Cast him out into the outer darkness. Now listen, to where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping
crying, "Poor me, I don't deserve it."
Gnashing of teeth, gritting the teeth together so hard that the teeth begin to chip. Gritting your teeth together so hard in anger. How dare God have expectations of me? You see, these two parables are a reality check for Christianity and Christians today. Christ expects us to be wise, and he expects us to be faithful with his kingdom, his church, his gospel. And he expects results. And if he expects it, well, will he get it from us? And how? How will we know those expectations, and how will we know how to do that unless, like those faithful two servants and those five wise virgins, we actually study him, get to understand him, and mimic him, follow his footsteps? Because when we do that, we see that he does have expectations, but he's also given us all the answers on how to meet those expectations. Let the reader understand. God has entrusted us with the kingdom of heaven, with the message of the gospel. He expects us to do what he would do with it. When you consider that he went all the way to the cross to die for us, he expects that kind of commitment from us too. In our Savior's name, amen.